Well, a 10-year-old girl looking at Christmas displays with her family stood before one of these beautiful manger scenes, and her mother said, look how delightful this is, the animals, there's Mary, Joseph, and the baby Jesus in the manger. And the little girl replied, it's nice, but there's one thing that bothers me. Isn't baby Jesus ever going to grow up? He's the same size he was last year. Now, sometimes we can feel and even live this way, that Jesus and the Christmas story are nice, but they're just so back then. With all our complex modern troubles, Jesus, in a way, to many people seems almost irrelevant, as if he is just stuck back there in a manger on the pages of Scripture. We were talking in worship prep this week about what tense Jesus is with us. And some have a past tense Jesus. You know, he lived back then, he did great things, he saved us. We believe in him, but that doesn't really have a lot of impact on our day-to-day life. Others have a future tense Jesus. We know Jesus is coming back again someday, but we don't really let that bother us. You know, we get on with the here and now, focused on ourselves. Well, what about a present tense Jesus? Not a baby stuck in a manger or a king coming some distant day, but one who is Lord and King now, right now, and who is with us in the thick of things. What tense is your Jesus? Well, he's all three, but in the Christmas story, what is punched home is the present tense, God with us in human flesh, and not just for back then, but for now and all times. Notice first how Jesus is with us now, answering the present need of every longing heart in this chapel. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Savior, Christ, Lord. These three titles speak to the present need of you and me. We need, first of all, a Savior. We need rescuing from ourselves. We've all messed up and we know it. We are not what we want to be or should be. And we might not call it sin, but that is what is at play in us and in all of this. We've all gone our own way and made a mess of things. We've established our own kingdoms, the kingdom of self, where we tend to see, if not just outright, we may not say this, but the way that our heart works is that we see God as an obstacle or maybe a vehicle to getting what we really want, and we have to kind of maneuver around him to get what we really want. Young mother trying to teach her son how to pray recommended that he write out a prayer to God about what he wanted for Christmas. So the young boy started his letter, "Dear God, I'm writing to you about the things I want for Christmas, and I have been good for 6 months." After a moment's reflection, he crossed out six and wrote three. After a little more reflection, he crossed out 3 months and wrote 2 weeks. After a little more reflection, he got up from the table and went into the living room in front of the manger scene. And, you know, there's Mary, Joseph, and the baby Jesus. And he picked up the figure of Mary and returned to his writing. "Dear God, if Jesus ever wants to see his mother again..." It's just such human nature to try to leverage and bargain our way along with God. And so we promise, "Lord, I'll do this if," or "I'll stop doing this if," "Lord, I'll be different if only you." Of course, we also move to the threats. "If you don't do, then forget you, God." As if God somehow is in debt to us for our acts of devotion. Well, the truth is, we are not ignorant children. We are rebellious subjects of the living God. Christmas, in a way, is a grim tale Jesus comes at night. We pay attention to that detail. The angels appear to the shepherds at night, and that is not to enhance the sound and light show to somehow up the wow factor. Night is an indicator of the state of humanity. Because living for self brings darkness. And all of us feel it. The emptiness, the loneliness, the boredom, the brokenness in us, in our relationships, in the world. We are in a people in darkness. We need a Savior. Well, Jesus comes on a deadly mission to rescue us. He has come to die on our behalf and so rescue us from the kingdom of self and sin and death. He's the Savior we need, we all need today, now. He's also the Christ, that is the anointed one, the promised Messiah, in whom all the promises of God will come true. There's this deep longing in us. If we had to sum up, what is that longing? It's for Eden. We want to get back to a world that works, to a world of paradise, a world not cursed by frustration, death, and decay, but one that's at peace. Well, Jesus has come to bring that peace. And this is what the entire Old Testament was on tiptoes, waiting for God to bring the promises of the Prince of Peace, the one with whom there would be no end or increase of his government and of peace. Well, Christmas, in a way, is God's indictment on the world that humanity has failed to save itself and bring peace to the earth. And it's so ironic, I mean, how God just sets this up in history. The coming of Jesus was under Caesar Augustus's reign. And Caesar was hailed in that day as the savior of the world and the one who had brought peace to the world. And this is what they were praising him for in Rome. And he did bring a peace, an outward peace, the Pax Romana. There was food, there was law and order, good roads, there was communication. Life was pretty good if you obeyed. Because in reality, it was a forced peace. It was peace at the tip of a Roman spear. But listen to what Epictetus, one of the writers, Roman writers of that day, said. While the emperor may give peace from war on land and sea, he is unable to give peace from passion, grief, and envy. He cannot give peace of heart, for which man yearns more than even for outward peace. That longing for peace of heart is in every one of us here. And there's only one way it's going to come, and that is through this promised Messiah, the Christ. He is the one who brings the peace of God. And so all the promises of God for that peace and the life with him are going to come about in Jesus Christ. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Proclaim to her that her warfare is ended. That is, her warfare with God is ended. Jesus Christ is going to bring that about. Behold your God, the sovereign Lord comes with power. He rules with a mighty arm. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. It is Jesus who brings God to us, who carries us. There will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. You've increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. That is Jesus who brings that kind of joy. I will satisfy the weary soul, and every languishing soul I will replenish. That is Jesus. The Lord your God is with you, a mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with loud singing. That is what Christ, our Messiah, brings. This is the peace he brings. And the peace he brings is a peace that the world cannot take away. And it is a peace that meets us in the trenches. We heard about Andrew Forbat having COVID. He's almost 98. He's in Mission Hospital, and I called him last night, and he had spent from the morning, and I called him about 8 o'clock at night, and he had been in the hallway all day, just sitting there, waiting for a room. And I said, Andrew, can I pray for you? And as I began to pray Scripture, the promises of Scripture over him, he just was, amen, yeah, amen, which is not real typical of Andrew, but he was responding, what? To Jesus Christ, who was there with him, confirming those promises, and the comfort and the peace of the Lord came over him. This peace is real. It is for now. It is for today. It is present tense. And one big reason it is present tense is because of the third title of Jesus, and that he is Lord. This title, Lord, has been used 18 times up to this point in Luke's gospel. Every one of them a reference to God himself, the sovereign God. And now Lord is attributed to Jesus. What the angels are telling us about is an invasion of heaven, that God himself has come among us, and he is Lord. Well, what does it mean that Jesus is Lord? Well, it means that he is master, he's ruler, he's governor of heaven and earth. He's not stuck in the past, he's not relegated to some future coming. No, Jesus is the sovereign Lord now, and that includes all of life, even the nitty-gritty aspects of your life today. Jesus Christ has inserted himself into our history. And he has not come as an ideal. He's not come as a concept. He's come as a person. He's come as a person with power, with wisdom, with grace, with mercy, with love. And he has come to be with us and is now by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is present, as present in this chapel as he is in heaven. Because he is Lord over all and Lord with us. And we've asked in this Advent series, what do you want for Christmas? But more specifically, what do you want for life? What are you deeply longing? And at the heart level, isn't it really it's simple stuff. We want peace. We want joy. We want happiness. And we fool ourselves if we think the gifts under the tree or a new relationship or a change of circumstances are going to do it for us. Those are temporary things, band-aids. We're alienated from God. And it's crazy how we fight and reject that truth. You see, here's the meaning of Christmas. Jesus Christ is God in human flesh. He's come into our world, and he is here as Savior, as Christ, as Lord, the one we need to bring us back to God and so satisfy the deep longings of our souls. Well, knowing this, knowing Jesus, this is the joy then of every longing heart. Fear not, the angel said, for I bring you good news of great joy. And the Greek word for great there is mega, okay? Good news of mega joy that will be for all the people. Now, that is quite a claim. Mega joy for all the people. What on earth qualifies as good news, mega joy for all people? Well, I think about right now, or in 5 minutes, Argentina and France are going to play for the World Cup championship, okay? Now, I'm just saying, if Argentina wins, that's going to be mega great news for millions of people in Argentina, but not in France or any other loser World Cup nation, you know? So that's not going to qualify. Well, how about this? I know, good news for all people. It's going to be a white Christmas in Alaska. Okay, that's not good news for us here in North Carolina or those in southern Florida who really want to see snow. Here's some really mega good news for all. According to the Global Peace Index for 2022, the number one safest country in the world, considering security, political stability, involvement in conflicts. And the number one nation in the world is Iceland. Great news for Icelanders, but not for those in South Sudan or Cuba or so many other war-torn nations. You know, no matter the news, it's almost impossible to find mega joyful good news for all. But here it is in Jesus. And it's because of what he pulls off. And not all believe this. But what has entered the world is hope for humanity that is stuck in darkness and death. I mean, we talk about, you know, all these plagues, and we need a vaccine, we need a cure. Well, Jesus is the cure for sin and death. This is really good news. This is why the angels declare great joy. And this joy is for you and me. How do we know that? Because if it's for the shepherds, it's for you and me as well. It's amazing that the shepherds get this news first about Jesus' birth and not some noble neighbors down the road or the priests up at the temple or King Herod at the palace. But the shepherds. Because it's amazing because these shepherds were people that you know other folks didn't want to really hang out with. That they were perpetually unclean, working with animals, very messy in every way. As a class, shepherds were known as thieves. You shook hands with them and you checked, make sure you had all your digits and certainly all the rings on your fingers. They were known liars. Their word was so suspect that they were not allowed to testify in a court of law. So there were some major trust issues with shepherds. They had the reputation of stain and shame. And yet they get the good news of the gospel first. Why? Because if to the shepherds, then to anybody. If these guys can come, any of us can come. And the great joy is that heaven's host, heaven's army appears not to declare war on these shepherds, but peace. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace with those with whom he is pleased. Something new and glorious has come into this world with Jesus Christ. Martin Luther says this about this announcement. There's cause for great joy in God's people because, quote, there is now no angry God over my life. I can know and feel that there is nothing but laughter and joy in the heart of the Father for me. Nothing but laughter and joy in the heart of the Father for his people. Is this the peace and joy that you know this Christmas? Not this sentimentality that we might stir up with singing carols and rehearsing Bible stories. Not the peace and joy that awaits us in the fullness of the kingdom that Jesus will one day bring. But no, I'm talking about the present tense, now, today, joy of the love and laughter of God that Jesus brings. You know, I guess it really does come back to this. What tense is your Jesus? The way to a truly Merry Christmas is to know Jesus in the now. But to do that, we have to do what the shepherds did. They had to leave work. They had to set aside their kingdoms and self-concerns, and they had to come to Jesus. And they did. Let us go. Let us see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste. They ran. And they found Jesus. And then they returned to work, different people, full of joy, hope, praising God for what they had seen and heard, witnessing. And we can so easily be hearers only. We hear God's word in church, we walk out those doors, and we just get back into the kingdom of self and full of self-concern. Do it differently today. Church, let's do it differently this week here before Christmas. Let's be doers of the word. where we choose not to remain fixed in a world of self-concern, but we repent of that, and we turn and we open our heart to Jesus. We seek him, knowing that he will be found by those who do. We believe the truth of who he is, Savior, Christ, Lord, and we submit to him as such. In fact, we ask him, would you be these things in my circumstances? And then we look for him. And as we do, we'll find ourselves having a mega Merry Christmas and life. Because Jesus is, present tense, the joy of every longing heart. Amen.